the ushers come, turn your attention to the screen.
Time to go.
Go where?
I'll tell you on the way. Can you fly one of those jets?
I can.
You got a suit? Then suit up.
Said suit up. And I've enjoyed this hero series. We've been talking about how changed people change worlds, and it's been just an enjoyable series to me. And I'm excited next week we'll be launching our Divine Mentor series. It's a reoccurring series here at McCord. And last year we talked about individuals that God mentors us through, and this year we're going to be looking at the book of Ephesians and seeing how God mentors us through letters that Paul wrote. And it's a little bit more, it'll be a little bit more detailed. We'll still have fun, I hope, I pray. We're going to try to have a lot of fun in the book of Ephesians, but it's turning a little bit into a little bit deeper dive into the Word of God, and I'm excited about it. But in this series, Heroes, I pray that you have come to understand who God has made you and what He's done for you in your life and the authority that you can operate in as men and women of God, children of God. We looked at the fact that Jesus was the ultimate hero, that not only was He a hero Himself, but He created heroes. He created a hero out of your life, and that you're a hero, and that God has made you unique. So the difference that you are makes the difference in the world. And I encouraged us not to discount the difference that we are, but to embrace the difference that we are and allow God to use that difference to make a difference. Last week, we learned that there's a villain to fight. We're in a war. We're not warring against flesh and blood, but we're warring against principalities and powers in high places. And so there is a villain to fight. But this week, we're going to close this series by recognizing that while we fight in a battle, we do not fight alone. We don't fight alone. And in your service guide, there's an opportunity to take some notes, and I encourage you to do so. It helps us to remember what we've learned, and it also helps us to go back and pick up things that we may have forgotten. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us this: the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So God is giving us something that we understand, the human body, and He's helping us to understand something that is actually beyond our personal comprehension by saying, this is how the body of Christ works. Just look at your human body and understand how the body of Christ works. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. He's talking to a very diverse group of people here, and in this day in which he's writing, there are still slaves and slave owners, and the unique reality is that a lot of them are both Christians, and so they're having to learn how to deal with one another as men and women of God. Some are Jews, some are Gentiles. The two don't always get along, and yet they're having to figure out how to deal with one another and get along with one another as children of God. He says, but we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. So in writing, he's saying, listen, we were all separate, but now, just as the human body is all together, though different parts, so it is in the family or a family of God or body of Christ. So no matter what part of society you're part of, you're part of one body if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It matters who you're following to march into your future. And if you are a Christ follower, then he's saying you're part of the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you probably don't hear in church very often. and that is that you do not need to go to church to be saved. You do need to go to church to be strong. God has called us to be a part of the body. Always a part of the body. You do need to connect with other believers. An arm cannot live without the rest of the body. Unless it's in that show that the hand walks around in the Addams Family. Is that what it is? Yeah, I've only heard about it. I've never watched it. And anyway, my point is that... You take the arm off the body and suddenly the arm isn't viable anymore. The rest of the body can live without the arm. But the arm needs the body to be able to be strong. So you're a new creation in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. And we're on the same side. So the question is, why don't we fight together? God created us to fight together. And this is the big idea today. Big idea is, let's be heroes together. Let's be heroes together. In the movies, the Lone Ranger, the guy who fights by himself, the girl that does it by herself, wins the day. But it's more in reality, the lone wolf actually dies. The lone wolf rarely survives without the pack. It makes us individually feel good to think, I want to be that guy. I want to be that girl that gets in there and just makes the difference all by myself. But it's usually the team of people that makes the difference versus the individual person all by themselves. When I was a kid, when my kids were smaller, I used to arm wrestle with them. And I would win. But then one day, as I was arm wrestling one of them, the other one jumped in and grabbed my arm and started pulling the other way too. And I still won. And they were impressed. But the day came where when they would team up on me like that, I would lose. And then I stopped playing because it wasn't funny anymore. But the... but they realized the value of teamwork. The fact of the matter is, together we can achieve greater victories. Together, more is possible than any one of us could achieve on our own. We together can go further, faster, bigger, better than any one person can create in their own life. And so I have three thoughts for us today, and thought number one is this. Simply, we are better together. We're better together. There's a lot of catchphrases out there that talk about teamwork, but my favorite is teamwork makes the dream work. I like it. And I like that it rhymes. It's easy to remember. Because what it's saying is we have a common dream, a common vision, a common focus that we're reaching for, and teamwork allows us to accomplish that thing. Christy was just talking about how for this fourth service launch coming up on the 28th, we're looking at the fact that there's more opportunities for people to jump in and be part of the team. And we're saying, here it is. There is nothing we can do. Don't freak out. Don't freak out when I say this. We could do 20 services on a weekend if we have the right team. The entire staff just fainted, but they're going to be okay. We can do, there's almost nothing we can't do if the right team is engaged. Teamwork makes the dream work. A wise man, King Solomon, said this. He said, a person standing alone can be attacked and even defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Bottom line, the more people we have together that are standing strong, that are working together, the greater the thing that can be accomplished. Together. What does together mean? It means that people are joined in a single pursuit. If Captain America had said, suit up, and everybody started suiting up. I mean, Thor went over there and recharged the batteries in his hammer. And everybody, I don't know if that's what he's doing. Please don't send me emails. And then the other people started doing all the stuff that they were doing. Everybody got all suited up and they looked cool as cool could be. And they all just walked in separate directions. Nothing would have been accomplished. He said, suit up. And they all did their thing, and you saw it, and I was in awe. I was impressed by all of the things that they were doing to get ready for the battle. But the most important thing that they did was all show up at the back of that airplane and walk in together. Because that's the moment whenever they said, we're going to go do the same thing at the same time. We're going to work together as a team. There is strength in being together. My family had a big upright piano for a long time. And one day we moved from one house to another, and my dad finally just said, leave it there. Just leave it. It's too heavy. This piano is heavy, and if I try to pick it up right now, I'd hurt myself. But if all of us gathered around this piano, we'd be able to pick it up pretty easily because of teamwork. It brings strength. There's also comfort in being together. It's a beautiful thing whenever the family's together. I sleep better when there's other people in the house. When there aren't anybody, when no one else is in the house, I wake up every little while and I check on things. I sneak around my own house to find out who might have snuck in while I was sleeping. There's a sense of comfort. Don't judge me. That's rude. There's a sense of comfort in being together. I can rest because someone has my back. There's also accountability in being together. Now, sometimes we like the strength and we like the comfort, but we don't always like the accountability side of being together. And sometimes I'll be late coming home from the office or from a meeting, and Christy, as I walk in the door, she'll say, hey, you're late. Why are you late? Now, I could say, honey, I'm a full-grown man. I drove here in my own car. I said I could say. But that would not lead us into happiness towards the future. So I don't say, but I could say. What she's doing is she's keeping me accountable for my time. And so I say to her, well, this is what happened. And I explain to her what went on. And I'm not upset about that. Why am I not upset about her holding me accountable for my time? Because we are together. And because she is holding me accountable, I make sure that my time is used properly. Because there's people in my life, I have people in my life who call me periodically and say, what are you doing in this area of life? How are you handling that area of life? Are you healthy in this part of life? Together. And they hold me accountable. Accountability makes you better. But it must be combined with honor. I don't mind explaining myself to Christy because Christy has given me honor in life. That leads us to thought number two. Succeeding together requires honor be elevated. I want to introduce a phrase to McCord Road Christian Church, and that is this. Honor up, honor down, honor all around. Honor up, honor down, honor all around. And you can put the thought number two up there just for a minute again, because I think people are still writing. Here's the thing. I think that honor is a missing element in our world. We think that honoring means agreement on every level, but it doesn't. Honoring someone doesn't necessarily mean that we're in agreement with them. It does mean that we're going to give them their proper place. I have five keys for showing honor this morning. That's what all those little blanks are. First key is this. Honor requires seeing the whole picture. In order to honor, you've got to be able to see the whole picture. I'm just going to read these scriptures. You can write it down, but they'll leave this on the board. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. We've got to be able to see that the body is made up of multiple parts. And if we don't see the whole picture, then we will become consumed with the idea that the body is made up of me. Self-focus allows people to receive honor, but it does not allow us to give honor. We can give honor whenever we understand or see the entire picture. When we see the bigger picture of the body. You're a part of a whole. Key number two is recognize your value. You can't give honor unless you recognize your own value. If you try to give honor from a place where you feel valueless, then you end up it ends up not being honor. It ends up you end up presenting what should be honor in a negative way. And I think that's one way, reason why some people struggle with giving honor is because they start to give honor, but then they have to pull back on it because they're not certain of who they are. When you know who you are, you can say, I love you with strength, and it's not a struggle. When you know who you are, you can say, I'm sorry in strength, and it's not a struggle. When you know who you are. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:15, if the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of a body? Downplaying who you are discredits the work that God has done in you. Now, some people downplay who they are because they honestly feel like they are less than, and by doing so, we're discrediting what God has done. Other people downplay who they are because they don't want responsibility. If I step into who I am in Christ, then that means I have to take responsibility for who I am in Christ. Christy just said there's opportunities for service in the fourth service. You see how service and service. There's opportunities. But if you don't feel, if you say, nah, you know, I am nothing and I am nobody, so I can't, they're not really talking about me in this. They're talking about other people who are better than me. My life is messed up. Well, you don't know that every single life in this place is messed up in some manner, including the persons who's talking to you. God created you. Recognize yourself and honor yourself and step into the abilities that God's given you. Next key, recognize the value of others because God created them. 1 Corinthians 12:17. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? You've got to recognize the value of others. They play a part in your life. Now, sometimes at a church, a pastor is recognized more than other people because, obviously, I'm standing up here talking to you an awful lot, an awful long time. But the fact is, and some pastors can get pretty high and mighty on that. I get it. But I've been the pastor of a church with no people. How important did that make me? Not so. Not so. One day we were in Chicago planting that church, and we had all of one person in the congregation aside from our family. And one morning, Christy, one of the boys wasn't feeling well, so she stayed home. And I got to church, and Tom, the only other person that I expected in church that morning, also did not show up. And so I was in a sanctuary all by myself, and I preached the best message that's ever been preached. I'm telling you. No one had a problem with the sermon that day. It was great. I led the songs. I took the offering. I gave double that morning. And I did the whole thing. Gave the altar call, and I led myself to repentance. It was awesome. But I didn't feel very high and mighty that day. In fact, I did it because I said, I never want to be at this place again. If this is a test, I'm going to pass this test so I never have to face this test again. I never want to show up in a sanctuary again where I'm all by myself. It's a tough place to be. But it also showed me the value of others. Next key, accept God's sovereignty and design. The Bible says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. God designed you, and He designed others to play the part that they are. And so if you try to move them all around, it doesn't work. And if you don't respect it, it doesn't work. Honoring ourselves and each other honors God, because it's Christ's body that we're part of. Praise God. So when we honor up and we honor down and we honor all around, we're honoring God. What do I mean by honor up? I mean honoring those that lead us, honoring those that are further ahead of us in life, honoring those who are helping us and mentoring us. Honoring down means that we're honoring those that we are leading, that even though we're leading them, we don't treat them like dirt, and we don't treat them dishonorably, but we treat them with honor and with grace. And honoring all around means that I link arms with my contemporaries and my friends and those that are walking beside me in life, and I'm honoring them as well. So that means that I'm living in an entire circle of honor. And the only reason I can do that is our last key in giving honor or showing honor this morning is because I desire peace and harmony within the body of Christ. Don't raise your hands, don't nod your heads, don't even blink. But you may know that sometimes in churches, everything isn't harmonious and peaceful. There are difficulties in churches sometimes, and it's tough. And it's heartbreaking and it's heart-wrenching. But if we honor, it's because we desire peace and harmony. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:25. It says, this makes harmony among the members. What does? Understanding the part that each plays. Honoring the part that each plays. So that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. But the reason why we struggle with honor sometimes is because of this thing called pride. I don't want to show them honor. Do you? They looked at me funny. I'm not about to honor them. If you look at me funny, I'm not going to smile at you. You don't treat me right, I'm not going to treat you right. One time, we were in Kona, and the church was growing, and things seemed to be good, but we were in a very difficult place financially. The economy had crashed, and all kinds of things were going on. And one day after a service, one of our associate pastors said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure." So we sat down on the front row, and he said, "Hey, I just feel like the Lord has called me to start a church down the street. And I've rounded up some people from this congregation, and we're all going to go start this church together." What I wanted to do was punch him in the face. I'm sorry if you think that's less spiritual. The spiritual part is I didn't punch him in the face. Also, we were sitting on the front row with everybody in the room. So that was... But I felt this come up, and I was afraid. And I felt pride rise up in me, and I thought, "Oh no, why would you do this? We were ministering together, we were working together, we were friends. We were good. Everything seemed right. And now, not only is he and his family going to go launch a church, which hurt already, but now they're going to take other people, and they're going to launch. And I don't even know what this looks like. And I started to feel this spirit rise up in me that was very negative." And I just shut it down, and I said, "I have one question for you." He said, "What?" I said, "Do you have all the equipment you need to launch your church?" He said, "Well, no, not really." I said, "All right, we have an extra sound system, and we're going to bless you with that sound system." I said, "Do you have a drum kit?" He said, "No, I don't have a drum kit." I said, "All right, we're going to get another drum kit, and we're going to give you the drum kit that we already have." I said, "You know that the finances are tight." He said, "Yes, I know that." I said, "We're going to give you a $500 offering, which is a huge stretch for us, but we're going to do it because we want to bless you. If God is doing this in His body, then we want to bless what God is doing in His body. We can't hold it." And I will tell you, every part of me wanted to curl up in a ball. Anger was there. Frustration was there. But more than anything, pride was hurt. And I was just, I didn't know what to do. Honestly, I didn't know what to do. And so I defaulted to honor. And let me tell you something. I felt that negative spirit start lifting off of me. And we went on. And it was the best days of Legacy was right after that. And it continues to be a strong church today. And guess what? The church that he pastors is still a strong church today. And we're still friends today. Praise God. Here's what happens. Honor starves pride of fuel. If you want to kill pride in your life, honor someone. Honor someone that you don't think deserves honor. And honor them, not like, ha, I'm going to honor you and God's going to rain coals of heavenly fire upon your head. No, that's not honor. I've heard that prayed, though. Jealousy dies when honor is present and harmony is established. Thought number three, being heroes together is the calling of the church. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, all of you together are Christ's body and each of you is a part of it. I cannot be the body of Christ by myself. It's impossible. And neither can you. We need one another to be the body of Christ. I hope in this series you've seen the value of who God's made you. And I pray that you've seen the value of what God's done in other people as well. Captain America had a job to do, and he called the team, suit up, and they did. But the job could not be accomplished alone. He needed them to be together. And God is calling our body, his team, to suit up together and do something great for his kingdom that no one of us could do on our own. And I'm telling you, he's got a plan for his body. We all have moments whenever we want to do it by ourselves. We all have moments whenever we say, look, I'm feeling strong, I'm feeling brave, I'm feeling confident, so I'm just going to get out there and do it by myself. But I'm asking you, in the moment of bravery and confidence and strength, I'm asking you to be smart, too. To be smart, too. And take all that bravery, all that strength, and link it up with somebody else who's brave and strong and God has placed his hand upon, and do it together. Individuals, we make decisions for ourselves, but it's the body of Christ that's going to be in heaven. And the Bible says this in Revelation 7, after this I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language. That means they looked different. They sounded different. They didn't come from the same places. It was all different. And I'm telling you, it's you and I standing in that throng that he's talking about right there. And they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. That is a crowd of heroes that overcame. We will fight together, then we will live together, worshiping the one and only Almighty God, the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, if we were in the 1950s, we might take a minute and sing, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Y'all know that song. If we were in the 1990s, we might sing, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand together. But the one I like the best is from 1972. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow, but if we are wise, we will know always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. done that in a long time. Since 1972, that was the last time I did that. And a few years later, I was born. Let's sing the chorus of the song that we've been, or the first verse of the song that we've been learning in throughout this whole series. It's "The cross has the final word." We need one another, but the only reason we have one another is because of the cross of Jesus Christ. So the song says, the cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Sorrows may come in the darkest night, but the cross has the final word. So as we close this service, the band's going to sing and play, and we're going to worship together in closing. But if you are in a place where maybe sorrow has come and it is a dark night in your life, and you need somebody to just connect with, we just sang "Lean on Me." Maybe you need someone to lean on you. If that's you, that's why we come down to the front. That's why we connect hands together and we pray together. It's not because anyone's weak or anyone's strong. It's because we are fighting together. We're fighting together. So we're going to worship together. We're going to pray together. Elders, come on forward and let's sing together and let's worship the King. If you need prayer for anything at all, make your way down here and let's fight together in Jesus' name.